From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast for Ranger Proud. Going to talk Rangers hockey, of course, NHL stuff. Our platform, the Bleed Blue Show, is, of course, on our website, bleedblueshow.com. Audio archived episodes can be found on Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Now, also, as far as on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify platforms. The Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Let's talk with RP Pizzle, man. RP, what's going on? How's everything, man?
Hey, Steve. Everything's going really well. How are you doing?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. Last week, we talked defenseman, and you know what? You know what? We could run with anything you would like to discuss tonight. It's going to be an open book, an open dialogue. We could go anywhere you would like to discuss with our squad. What's on your mind as far as the Rangers, man?
I guess the same as everyone's mind. Things really seem to quieter down trade-wise. It goes back to the same old stuff, the salary cap and how tight the Rangers are against the cap and so forth. Still, only a few weeks ago here before, about a month ago, I should say, before training camp gets ready to kick off. And it's an interesting thing. I truly felt a lot of people thought trades would be made quickly and the cap would get cleared up pretty easily and there'd be some leeway for moves, but it really looks like the Trouba and the Panera signings kind of set the Rangers back a little bit. I don't know if there's just not a market for players they thought there would be. It's kind of unusual. They're sitting at a very weird spot. They only have like 1.1 million free cap space, which is why they haven't signed Brendan Lemieux, which has been an absolute must in my eyes. And Anthony D'Angelo is still pending out there. So it's a little weird. I sort of expected it to be solved, but it's also a problem that seems to be going on throughout the NHL right now. There are some really big top restricted free agents that have yet to be signed. So it's all around right now with that. So it's kind of unusual. You know, Mitchell Marner over at Toronto is probably the top guy right now that's been hovering around. It's weird. It's a weird time of year. I haven't really seen this. Everyone's sort of waiting. and I think a lot of it has to do with what Marner is going to sign for. And Toronto doesn't really know what they're waiting on with that. And it's a weird – everything's on a standstill. It's very unusual. The Toronto Maple Leafs are in over the cap situation, so they can't even sign – Mitchell Marner, and fans, just to top that off, is if someone did give them an offer sheet, Toronto couldn't match it because they're almost $5 million over the salary cap themselves. So it'd be a real tough situation. They'd have to make some quick decisions with buyouts and so forth to free space up there. So I don't know. That to me, that's like the biggest topic on right now. There were just a lot of restricted free agents that are pending out there. Some interesting ones, some that, you know, you kind of knew, but I think hockey is in a very unusual circumstance where there's a lot of waiting to see what happens, and that's why you haven't seen anything happen. So normally it's normally the quiet time of year in general, Steve, in hockey, but not for these reasons. Normally everything's more or less done, and now, you know, you're filling things out and some little minor deals here and there. But a lot of teams have some major decisions to do, and it's August 13th. The clock is ticking. So that's, to me, it's not directly a Rangers-related thing, though. They have two top restricted free agents that they need to get on the contract. But I don't think you're going to see anything done until right before training camp starts.
Yeah, you're probably right about that as far as right before training camp starts. And you're right as far as around the league, as far as a lot of money is tied up on some of these clubs. And as bad as the Rangers have, as far as tight with cash, you're right, man. You know, we discussed this late the last week or two, as far as other teams are even in a worse financial position is trying to get under the cap. You mentioned Brendan Lemieux, and I think that's a good player that we could look into because I thought that's a player you really, really like. I like him too, but you really was in favor as far as Lemieux, and you know his background as far as a hockey player. Now, as far as getting something done for him, and then on top of that, how sooner or later we could get that locked in so we can have him in camp and get him, you know, implemented with the lines, the system, the players, the roster, the head coach. What are your pros and cons with Brandon Lemieux? I mean, outside of the contract, that you're looking forward to, assuming that things work out the way they could or should.
I think he is a really good fit in New York. I think the fans are really going to like when they get to see him play, you know, a full season with the Rangers last year. He only played 19, hard hitting, can play all three zones. I love the way his feistiness reminds a little bit of his father, Claude Lemieux, when he played with the Devils years back. Not as nasty, but he'll engage every time he can. And whenever he's out there, you know something's going to happen. A big hit, a big scoring play. He's a third, fourth line player, but he can skate and compete with the top guys on all the other teams. So they need to find a way to get him. He absolutely has to get on the contract. He winds up being the big, you know, the big winner out of the Kevin Hayes deal. So I like his tenacity. I think the bench feeds off his style of play. Like I said, he wasn't here long last year, and obviously without a playoff run, we didn't get to see a lot of him. But in the time that he was with the team, I thought the coaching staff liked him. It definitely was like the fans enjoyed him, especially at the Garden. They were really enjoying it. And I thought he fed off the team and the team fed off him, which is what you want to see, especially with a new player. You know, it's always different. You get traded. You weren't playing a lot of hockey, which was the big thing in Winnipeg. He wasn't getting a tremendous amount of minutes. And then he came over to New York, and I remember Quinn saying earlier after the trade that he had to get some of his stamina back, because when he was with Winnipeg, he was only averaging about 7 minutes a game last season. When the Rangers picked him up, he jumped to 12, almost 13 minutes a game. So the coach is using him in big situations, 19 games, he had 6 points. He had 44 penalty minutes, which is great. I love his energy out there. So I think that they're going to have to continue once he gets signed and he comes. You know, they're going to find a spot for him. He definitely has a spot on this team going into the season. They can use him anywhere, you know, offense, defense, on power plays, I should say. So we're just going to have to see where they want to fit him in on a continual basis and see, you know, how he works with Kravtsov, how he works with Akako. He has, you know, he's only 22 years old, but this will be his fourth season in the league. So he has some experience I'm sure he'll be able to share. But, you know, sometimes these guys come to New York and they, in all the sports, and they don't just seem to hit it off. You know, New York can be an intimidating market. You didn't see that with Lemieux. He fit right in. He fit right in. He was hitting. He was throwing a body. He was having a good time on the ice. He meshed well with all the players. So I'm looking forward most to see him skate this year.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him come over. I think he played about 20, 21 games with the Rangers, something like that. I can't remember right offhand. He came in. Did a good job with, you know, being a physical body. A guy who's 6'1", a shade over 200 something pounds. He's a physical aspect that the Rangers definitely need. And like you said, as far as getting along, kind of fits the core of the culture of the city, and just bringing more of that physical dynamic to the roster. And he's a young, what is he? 23 years old, 24? He's young, man. I mean, he's third year in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Is he? Okay. So you know, he's in, you know, he definitely hasn't even reached his prime, and, you know, feeling out, getting out the playing time that he was getting a lot more, you could say, minutes per se, or time on the ice on average with the Rangers, because of the situation we're in. I'll be lying to you if I'd say I was watching a lot of Winnipeg Jet hockey all season long last year, so I would assume he was a fourth liner on that team, if he got any time on the ice. So he probably didn't play that much time on ice, and that's why the Winnipeg Jets were willing to get something back for him and put him on an opportunity like the Rangers. I think that was probably a circumstance that it just the way it fit with that particular hockey club. And now that the Rangers, I think you're going to start to see a lot more production out of him. Right? That's the best word I could say, is it production. For what we saw, I like what I did see. I definitely did. And it's not necessarily about scoring per se. It's more about the impact on the ice. Although I think he has the capabilities of scoring some goals. I don't remember him scoring a lot of. I remember he scored a couple of goals with the Rangers. I don't remember if he didn't score a lot, but I don't really recall as far as with the Winnipeg Jets, like as far as production on the ice, as far as scoring. But that's not necessarily why I like him. And my thing is more of the physicality, the as far as the third line, working with the centers at the blue line, as far as or more so the neutral zone, if anything, as far as delivering some good hits and being physical, some clean hockey. When I look at Brendan Lemieux, he's more clean hockey type player. And you're right, he's not as rugged as his dad when he was those days as a New Jersey Devil. But usually the apple doesn't really fall far from the tree. And I think at his early age and at his value, at his whatever what would be his contract, I think the Rangers have something for the next several years. I think that definitely could grow into a fan favorite in a sense with Brendan Lemieux. And I think you brought up a good point as far as the other wing. Him predominantly playing at left. Whoever's going to be opposite him, there could be some good things. There's going to be a nice chemistry there. Who's probably going to be the other scorer that brings that balance to whatever particular line. I think I'm looking at the third line when I say this, not necessarily the second. So, all the lines are going to be a key or a crucial point of the squad. But his role in particular, RP, and I think we can agree, he just brings something that's just different. He doesn't have to be what other players on this roster is who are the potential of just scoring. Just play your physical brand of hockey. Let other opponents know that you're in there when you're getting on the time. Get your time on the ice. You make your shifts and then play. Keep out of the box whenever you can, and then be real physical. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with that. I don't remember seeing a lot of that as a rain. Well. Maybe he has some things here and there with the penalties, but now that I can think about it, anybody could clean that up, cross checking, stuff like that, or hooking, things like that. We talk about those type of penalties on and off here on the podcast, but RP, as far as growth on his game, what are the things you would like to see the kid do?
Are we still on Lemieux himself? I think once he gets
settled
in, he has the potential to get some more points on the board. I like to see him tighten up a little bit more without the puck. We all know what he can do when he has the puck, when he's attacking the player that has the puck. But those are all sort of the growing pains. You got to remember, he's in the league. He's finished, his second full season in the NHL, but he hasn't played a lot of minutes. He hasn't played a lot of important minutes. With Winnipeg, he averaged 7 minutes and change his first year in the league, a little bit more, 9 minutes his second year, and then last year prior to the trade, he was back down to the 7 minute mark. He's going to have to keep his stamina and his conditioning a lot better than it was when he was at Winnipeg, because it was obvious that Quinn wants to use him more. Quinn liked what he saw, the coaching staff liked what he saw. So I think this offseason and entering training camp, it's going to be important that he can show that he can keep up, that he can play all out all the time, all three zones, smart defensive hockey, and he's got to be able to learn to take some of the learning techniques of David Quinn, the talking and maybe possibly sitting some games, and his style of not punishment, but this is what I want you to do, and I want you to watch how to do it, which could be a little bit misleading at times as a benching when it really isn't. And it's worked. It worked for Buchanan several times last year. It worked for Hedl, so it's a good method for Quinn, who's good with working with these young hockey players. So I just want to see him just get into the system on a full-time basis. Coming into training camp this year is really going to help him. It's a little bit different here in New York. They're in a different circumstance compared to where Winnipeg was. But he's definitely going to be vital to the team's success.
Right on. One more other thing I would like to add about Brendan Lemieux, and I think you kind of already hit on it when it comes to roles and physicality, and things that I definitely do like. And this is the type of he's not a flashy guy, and I like guys who are just kind of like a lunch pail type of dude. Brings his hard construction hat. He's a guy. I really believe as the years go on, even looking beyond, next season. Well, we can take it one season at a time. We also got to see it with the contract. Let's say, assuming that he does have his contract, I really believe he's going to be one of those Rangers, the fans are really going to gravitate to as far as style of play, works hard. It's not a softy. Doesn't take shifts off. I don't look at him per se as far as a guy who's going to be bashful or shy as far as, delivering, I guess you could say the physicality, the hits, the wood, whatever you want to say. My whole thing is when I say, like, any hockey club will definitely attest to, especially the ones who are on the brink of a championship or a team that's on their way to, great things, a Stanley Cup run per se. You gotta have a guy, in my opinion, you gotta have a guy or a couple of guys that's going to be, I would say, an enforcer, but let them know that 2019-20 hockey is definitely, it definitely exists with an old school mentality. I mean, this is the reason why I believe, similar to how we see some of these other soft teams get eliminated so early in the playoffs. We can look at a team like Tampa Bay. And I'm not saying the Rangers are the Tampa Bay Lightning. All I'm saying is if you make the playoffs, you never know what can happen. See, I could see the Rangers getting in maybe on the last wild card spot or something this year. And if they're playing high, they could clip off. Any team could get clipped off. And you're going to need a guy like Brandon Lemieux to get the job done, because that's kind of how I saw how Tampa Bay got eliminated by Columbus when they took the pedal off the metal. I guess the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Blue Jackets not only play hard, but they got real physical with them. And sometimes at the end of the day, physical teams are going to outlast these finesse teams. And we always talk about the Rangers were all as a makeup of a squad. Before Lemieux got there, there's nobody. I say, oh man, I worry about the Blue Shirts, or I worry about the Rangers. He's a nice piece as too far as being more of a physical team that we need to be. I like it. I really, really do. And I really believe he's gonna whoever's the center, and we talked about that with the centers episode. Whoever is gonna be running point, running center with him, he's gonna be an excellent asset, especially on the forecheck, getting deep behind the goalie's net. I'm excited. It's just a matter of time as far as business-wise, contract stuff. But the production has definitely got to go up. So I think we could up his average, his ice time to maybe up to 14 minutes this season.
Sure.
I think last year, he didn't play. He played some minutes, but it wasn't like a crucial, a lot of minutes, especially coming over to a new team. He only played, 15-20% of his season with the Rangers. So, I'm looking forward to the growth, man. I really am. I really, really, really am. And you mentioned that because he played, two other seasons in Winnipeg? I would have thought it was one, but, yeah, it probably was two.
I think it was a season and a half. So, yeah, he played the 17-18 season, and then he played half of the 18-19. He's played 2 years, not three. He's going into his third year. That's what it was. So he just didn't,
gotcha.
But like you were saying. Right, because this last season was split. So, but like you said, it's going to be interesting to see, knowing where he is and how he plays and what the team's looking for him to do. You have to look forward to having like a strong season in the areas that he is strong in. But that'll come with more playing time.
Without a doubt, man. And honestly, he's one of the few players, and to me, it doesn't matter who is on opposite of him or as center, because I'm not looking at him to be this lethal scorer, and he's going to need somebody to really consist or rely on. I think this is the guy you could just throw in there pretty much on whatever shift, but in this case, he's probably going to be a third liner. I don't see him going down. I think he's a very good fit with this roster on the third line to me. And I really believe that he's the type of guy, it doesn't matter who's going to be the center on that third line or the opposite wing. I think what he brings to the Rangers table is he's going to be that versatile guy, not versatile, but he's just going to be different than all the other, you know, potential scorers that we got. He's just different, and I like different because you don't want everybody to be the same, you know. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing when it comes to a hockey club for this roster. Is there any other blue shirt player that you was thinking about on your mind? I know we talked about, Jesper Fast, you know, I mean, you had thought, you know, made a piece about him, a guy that's been in and out with the injury bug and a guy who's, you know, been all up and down the lines. Jesper Fast, what is your thoughts with Jesper Fast as far as his 2019-20 roster?
He's the player every team needs. He's one of those guys that's like a heart and soul of the team, great penalty killer, really reliable defensively. Quinn uses him in all key situations because he knows he's not going to make a mistake. He knows what to do with and without the puck. He has pretty good hands. You know, not a great goal scorer, but he's gone through his years when he's been scoring goals. He was on the first line a couple of times when AV was the coach. You just have to like him overall. He's just a consistent hockey player. Excuse me. What I really like about him is on his penalty killing. To me, he's that top penalty killing guy. And a lot of it started when Marion Gaborik was a Ranger and Michael Grabman was a Ranger and that chemistry they had. It wasn't just penalty killing. The other teams had to constantly watch out for his prowess to get the puck into the offensive end shorthanded and get opportunities in scoring and just keep them out of our end. And now that he sort of is the leader of the penalty killing, you see the same thing from him. He's learned so much over his years here with the team. And you don't read a lot about him, and you don't hear a lot about him, but he does so much on the ice. He does those little things, good line changes. Doesn't really make a bad play. Doesn't ice the puck when he gets in trouble. He's confident with the puck. Really good defensive coverage. But to me, the key for him, even though it's an area where the team struggles on the penalty kill, He's sort of the quarterback of the penalty kill side. He's the reliable guy out there. He's the one everyone knows to get the puck to, and he's going to chip it out without turnovers on the blue line and putting his team into defensive situations that will cause scoring opportunities. So I've always liked Fast. He's been up with the team since 2013. As he goes into this season, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. So that's another thing that you're going to have to keep everyone's eye on. He's in that same spot as Chris Kreider, Nemstikov. They're going to be free agents when the season ends. So we'll see what direction the team's taking. He's only 27. He's not old. He's making 1.85 this year. He's in a different situation altogether than where Chris Kreider is going into his UFA year because he's going to want so much more money, and he's making so much more money now. You know, different player, different scoring skill, different reliability, in different roles on the team. So I don't think the Rangers would have trouble re-signing him before the season ends. And, you know, a solid right winger on the club. He wore the assistant captain, the A all last year. So, good things out of Fast.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the Rangers, the team, they definitely like the kid. You brought up the point as far as him being on the squad since 2013. Wow, time has flied. He's been there, going into maybe his seventh season. And I remember when he was on the roster, the young guy, he was the young buck. He's in, the 27, 28-year-old range. You brought up a good point as far as his status, as far as contractually being an unrestricted free agent. You never know that, depending on how the Ranger season goes and if they can't figure out a market for his services going forward. I mean, he can always be used as an asset to be moved to another club and get something back for him for the future. I know we've been doing this rebuild thingy or whatever, but he could be definitely a good piece for another team if it doesn't work out for the Rangers early on within, let's say, the first 45, 50 games. We've seen this guy like you said, as an associate captain, and rightfully so, because he's been pretty much a good guy in the locker room, and a guy who plays hard. When we've seen him over the years, he's been kind of nicked up. I think it was about 4 years ago. He was he came off the injury. I think it was a leg injury, if I'm not mistaken. But he's the kind of guy he's going to be a 25 to 30 point type of guy year in and year out. And like you said, it's really about his skating ability, his hustle, getting down there chasing pucks, especially on and then also on the penalty kill situations. The guy is a good glue guy for anybody's roster. And I think Jesper Fast, and hopefully we'll see some good things for him. I see if he's on the top line this year, I think that means there's something had went wrong with this roster, because I think he should be somewhere a bottom six guy this year if everybody's healthy. That's kind of how I look at Jesper Fast.
Absolutely.
We've seen them all over the lines over the years because of circumstances. Guys get traded, guys get injured. But not to say that that's not the knock on his game, because he'll play anywhere you ask him to play. I just think that if we can stay healthy, if he was on the fourth line, that to me, that's telling me maybe we have a stronger team than I think. But I think his natural fit would probably be a third liner, probably be opposite of Brandon Lemieux. As far as the other wing, I mean, that's how I could see it, or he could be interchangeable when they make line changes and stuff like that. But yeah, you're right, man. I mean, this guy's a good. He's been a good special teams guy on the penalty kill. He's always been a very good above average skater. He'll get you a couple of goals here and there. I remember with the year after we went to the Cup, he had a couple of game-winning goals. That's not the guy you want to really, really rely on as far as putting the puck in the back of the net. But this guy does a little bit of everything. He's just an all-around solid hockey player. And, you know, he'll play a little bit of defense, too. He does a little bit of everything. He's very, not the flashiest, but, you know, he does his thing, man. Pretty good guy. Pretty good player as well. At this point, RP, I mean, if he's just, to me, it's just, and I think you can agree, he is what he is. And I'm fine with that. He's 25 to 30 point type of guy year in and year out. I don't think it's going to go higher than that with his ceiling. I mean, is there any room for his improvement, or you're kind of content as a Ranger fan to get, you know what you're going to get out of Jesper Fast? I think he's shown that type of consistency, and I'll be cool with that.
No, I mean, you always want to see improvement. You don't want to – if you get compliant here and complacent, I should say, here, then someone's going to pass you up and take your spot. So you could absolutely see him continue to improve his game. But he's just got that –
In what areas?
That canny ability.
In what areas?
In his game, you like to see – I like to see him, believe it or not, which is something he probably won't change. I like to see him hit a little bit more. I think when he has the puck, when someone else has the puck, he goes for the puck first. And other teams know that too and kind of take advantage of his size, that he's not as an aggressive player as you would like to see. But I definitely like to see him take the body a little bit more. Like you said, the last couple of seasons he has some injuries and all. He hasn't practiced a lot. So that has taken away from his game. That's taken a little bit from his stamina on the ice. I'm sure this season he's going to come into camp in better shape now that he's been healthier and so forth. But, you know, other than that, like you said, he's not a goal scorer. He's absolutely a bottom six, third, fourth line kind of player. And that's not knocking him at all. That's you need third and fourth line players, and that's what Jesper Fast is.
Right on. I mean, definitely agree. You know, to be honest, I know he does do a little bit of hitting. He's very clean with it. I may have to take your word for it. Maybe he could do a little bit more hitting, but it's not like he shies away from the opportunity to hit. So, I mean, if we want to look at that, I don't think there's nothing wrong with what you said. So I think you make a valid point on that. He's a guy who will definitely block shots. I remember him. I mean, he's always been like that now that I think about it. I mean, he'll definitely put his body out there to stop a shot at the point as well. I mean, he does a little bit of everything. I don't know, man. I just think, it's really hard to ask for, you know, knowing his capabilities, his potential as far as his skill set. And we watched him over the years, like you said, since 2013. I don't know if he can do more than what he's actually been doing. Without, you know, you know, put it, you know, getting hurt or injured. Not to say that he would or wouldn't. I just think what we see, what we have gotten out of him, especially since the cup year. I mean, I just think he is what he is, and I'm actually cool with that. I just keep up with the consistency like that, and just be effective on the special teams. And I'm cool with what he has and what he brings to the Blue Shirts, man. For what I see with that, I don't know if I anything else. I mean, if we really want to nitpick, I mean he does be on the you know, maybe the faceoffs could be a little bit better. He's not really the greatest when it comes to that, so when it comes to puck possession, I'll nitpick. Okay, win some faceoffs a little bit more than what you have, bro. I mean he could definitely do that a little bit better when he's facing off versus the opponents. I think that'd be a good. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, we talked about this on the Centers episode. So let's say it is Lemieux, and let's say it is a Jesper Fast on the wing, and you'd like to see, I don't know, Ryan Strome out there with them, or like which center makes the most sense? We talked about this more on the Centers episode, but now we're talking about wings on outside of that. Who would you like to see run in between those guys?
And you get me with lines every week. I couldn't even tell you. I say that because I just don't know. There are so many questions at center. It's just hard for me to decide where he wants. I think Fast would play great with a Strome. They both have speed. They're both good without pretty good without the puck. They know what to do when they have the puck. I sometimes think, you know, I really wish you knew what they were going to be doing with Abu Nieves, because Nieves played with Fast a lot, and they hit it off pretty well, and they had a good chemistry and a good vibe when they were out on the ice. So I would like to see that a little bit more, but I don't know if Nieves is going to make the team or will he make the team as a winner, as we discussed last week. So line combination-wise, it's pretty much up in the air where they're going to put them. Fast can play with Lemieux, you know, on the other side of Lemieux with a decent center. Maybe Howden in the middle of them would be an interesting line. I'd like to see how that plays out a little bit. So there's a lot of different combinations, but, you know, just looking at it now, I don't know, Lemieux on the left, with Howden and Fast might be something interesting if they can get Howden to where he was when the season started last year, which I'm sure he will be.
That's a great question. That is an interesting point. We talked about Howard and we talked about Nieves.
I still think someone's going to have to go to the wing. You know,
yeah.
And, Anderson, Howden, Nieves, it's a backlog at the center spot. You know, all these lines start with the center position. So it's going to be something. I don't think it's even going to be decided until a quarter of the way into the preseason, maybe halfway into the preseason when they really start to send guys down. And, you know, it's getting even more complicated because if the Rangers do see what they've done the past years is when the Traverse City prospect tournament's over, they invite a lot of those guys to the first week of training camp, give them a little bit, you know, of a thank you, hard work in the summer, all of that, come practice with the guys a little bit, meet the coaching staff, get the feel of New York and being a Blue Shirt. But that takes away from what Quinn wants to do with the guys that are going to be on the team. So it's going to be a dilemma early on of who's playing where. The bottom six is the biggest question on the club by far, and it's a good problem to have. It's a really good problem to have because if he's having to make these decisions of who's playing center, who's playing wing, it means the team's loaded up with you know, a fairly good amount of hockey players, and now he has to do his job making those decisions and making the right decisions for the team to be, you know, competing and playing hard. So it's a good problem to have. Let's not kid ourselves.
Right on. I mean, let's move on to the goaltender. We'll talk about Hank Lundqvist. I mean, the season, another rodeo for the old veteran. You know, I mean, I thought we saw flashes of his greatness, but also the merges behind, you know, with Gorkyov, especially we talked about that even 2 years ago with Alain Vigneault. We'd like to see Lundqvist have some game reductions, have some of these young guys like Gorkyov and that. And I still think Gorkyov is a viable goalie in this league. I mean, he's not top 10, but he can have top 10 moments. But he's definitely top 15, though. I mean, I still think maybe more like 14, 15 as far as overall goalie awareness and instinctiveness. But for a guy his age, I mean, the guy is still great. I mean, counting the age, I mean, I really can't ignore that. And he's kind of gotten a bad rap, and I know a lot of stuff with the defenseman has been a huge hole for the last several years. But, I mean, what is his mindset? What is he thinking, RP? What is Henrik Lundqvist, as far as excitement going into this season, now that you may have some score, you may have some periods, you may have to be in a 2-2 game in the third period, and you may have a team that is going to probably put you over the top, and all you have to do is do your job and stay in there and keep the puck out the net. What's the mindset of a Henrik Lundqvist for 2019-20?
Oh, it's got to be excited about, you know, the improvements that the team has made, these new guys coming up. You know, maybe the Rangers can actually score more than 2 and 3 goals in a game on a consistent basis and give him a little bit of breathing room that you don't need to be standing on your head every single night. And I think if the Rangers become a more offensive team, it gives him a little bit more leeway back there, not even to make more mistakes, but it'll keep him a little bit more stress-free instead of relying so much on every single play that Lundqvist makes dictating a win or a loss, which he hasn't had that luxury in the last couple of years. He's got to be thinking he's going to have one more shot at a playoff run now. Maybe, I don't want to say a cup run, but I'm sure he doesn't want to end his career not making the playoffs. You know, the last, what is it, what would it be, 3-4 years that he's on the team. So I'm thinking that he's going to come out fired up, and the coaching staff's going to have to really limit his minutes in the first half of the season. Use Gorgiev. Use Shesterkin if you have to. Limit him. Keep him fresh. Keep the team competing. And then see where we are January, February. Hopefully they'll be in some sort of a playoff run, you know, based on the players that we've picked up. You would think they'd be able to. But, you know, on paper and on ice are two different things. But, you know, I anticipate him having a good year. He's going to be 38 in March. He's got 2 seasons left underneath him. You know, these might be the last 100 games you see Lundqvist playing if he gets in 50 games this year and 50 games next year. With regards to Gorgiev, I don't know what the outlook is. I would think, based on what we've read and saw, Shesterkin is probably the favorite to be the number one here. Does that mean Gorgiev is the number two, or do they trade him in a big deal toward the end of the season before he's a restricted free agent and, you know, and make a play that way? Who knows? Your guess is as good as mine. But right now where they stand, they're pretty solid in net with these three guys. They're not going to carry 3 goaltenders. I really expect, unless something unusual happens, that Gorgiev gets the backup and Shesterkin goes down to AHL for a little while. And then we see who's playing better and what's going on as October turns into November and so forth for both Shesterkin and Gorgiev. At the absolute worst, the 10 would split the season evenly. I really don't think so. I think that would happen next season. I still think Hank would be considered the number one goalie on the team just based on experience. And obviously, we know about the loyalty between him and the organization. He's not going to be traded. Everyone keeps talking about trading him or asking him to be traded again. They've done that 2 or 3 times, and he's made it abundantly clear, especially at this part of his career and his age and his contract, that he wants to ride it out here in New York. So he's going to be a Ranger the next 2 years. The matter is how much playing time, Steve. Does he play 50 games this year? Does it get really hot in the second half and get some more games? Does he have one more run left in him? Because like you said earlier tonight, you get into the playoffs and anything can happen if you get the right order of things to go your way. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he has this year. I know he has to be excited about having Panarin up there with him and Schuber on the blue line behind him, in front of him on the blue line, excuse me. So I think it's going to be I'm hoping it's going to be a great start to the season and that he has, you know, another 25, 28 win season in him.
I'm hoping 30. I'm hoping for 30 wins, man.
You know, I'm always hoping 30 is just hard. First off, if he's going to get 30, he's going to have to play more than 50 games. Let's be realistic about it. If Hank now, at his age, is going to get 30 wins, Hank is going to have to be playing a hell of a lot. He's never had a 30-win season in his career with less than 62 starts. I'm sorry, one season.
60-something.
He played 40. In 2014, he started. He played in 46 games, and he had 30 wins. But he had a great year that year. He was hurt that year, too, and it was 30-13.
All right.
That was the year he got the neck injury or the eye injury? 14-15. I think that was the year he got the slap shot to the throat. And
right.
And he missed some games. But other than that season, that's the only time he only played less than 60 games, less than 55 games, excuse me, and had 30 wins. In 16-17, he played in 55, and it was 31-20.
So the question,
I don't know if
he
can do
that. The question is, how many games? Okay, so let's look at it like this. We got to take this question by question. How many games he started last year? About 50? 51? Because I don't know, you know, that's kind of what.
Last year he started 52 games.
Did he? Oh, okay.
And 23.
All right. So yeah, he didn't have. Okay, so he was under 500. All right, that was some bad. That was some bad games. Yeah, a lot of that was not his fault. Some of it was, but a lot of it wasn't. Okay, so I would.
A lot of it wasn't. Correct.
Okay, so if 52, we go higher or lower? Like Price is Right, did we go higher or lower with games start for Hank next year? Because 52 is
higher.
That's an interesting year because I think they really gave a lot of starts to Gorky as the season was getting out of hand. But what's your thoughts?
Yes, I agree. I think here's the situation. Hank's going to be a starter, but I don't think Hank's going to be playing 70 games or 65 games in a season. I think if they play him all that time, even if they should somehow make a playoff run, he's going to be burnt out at 38.
So let's say,
so I think you got to keep him down.
Let's say 55. 55 is a good number.
55 is a good number.
If he plays 55 games to start, you don't think he could get. Okay, we're saying somewhere between 25 and 30. You know what, RP? I really think this team as a roster, I really think because it's hockey, because it's year to year, it really is, you already know. I think, and I hate to sound like a homer, man, but I think this team could surprise some teams some nights. They just got to put in some wins, especially with some of these back-to-backs. 30 is a little steep, but I'm maybe 26. I don't think 26, 27 is not hard to aim at. You know, aim at 55 games.
Well, let's look at the year before. He was 26, 26, and 7, and he started 61 games. It was 561 games.
That was a terrible year.
And what's the common denominator? The defenseman in front of him haven't been that strong. And right now, I'm not saying that. The defense might be better. They got a lot of young kids on there. They're going to make a lot of mistakes early in the season. This is why I'm saying they got to watch how they play Hank. Because they're going to be nights when he's going to get hung out to dry. You know, if Fox makes the team, he's going to be running around. Cliboy Hayek's going to be having struggles. We don't know what's going on with Brendan Smith. Right now, Anthony D'Angelo's not even signed. You're talking Brady Shea, Truber, and Stoll are your three solids. So I just don't know as much improvement as they have made. I don't know if it's going to be enough to see Hank grab a 31 season. I would love to see him pick up another 30.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm giving you that. I mean, it's not like I'm rooting against them. I just don't know if they have it. I think there's more to it than Hank. Like we said last year, Hank only had 18 wins, but a lot of those, he had 23 losses, and you and I both know how many games did they score against us 8 seconds into a period, 12 seconds into a period when nobody was ready. You know, they need to make a lot of improvements.
They didn't even give you a chance to get your scotch or light your stogie.
Open the bottle. How many times did you text each other? It's already 1-0. You got to be kidding. And, you know, and how many of those, I don't have the stats, but how many of those games that they gave up that first minute goal, did they lose by a goal?
Yeah.
With Lundqvist and net. So
That changes. They got to work on that. That changes this year. That's going
to
change. So we answered that question, but I think he is at least 500 this year. I mean, you even said the stat they were 26-26
yeah.
The year before, and
that was 2 years ago.
The last terrible year with Lane Vigneault. He's no way he's going to be under 500 again. He's too good of a goalie to be under 500 with the increased scoring, despite how bad the defensemen are. So on that strength, I'm going over 500 for Hank if you're giving him 55 games. That's how I look.
So what do you think? 26 wins?
55. So what's 55? So it's 55 minus 26. Don't make me carry the number, man.
55 minus 26. So, that would be. I'm doing the same thing you are because we're both horrible. But that'd be 21. So it'd be 26. What? He'd be five games right. over 500. Yeah, but here's the question.
That's definitely doable.
26 wins. 26 wins is only 52 points. Now, let me ask you something. So we're all saying Gorgiev is going to find them 40 points? Because you're going to need 90 to make the playoffs. No way in hell. It's not going to happen. If Hank gets you 26 wins, you have to make the playoffs. We're talking about can he get 30. We were toying with 30. That's five more wins, which is hard. Don't get me wrong. And that's 10 more points. So if Hank's not getting those points,
They had a lot of overtimes too last year. I hope that goes down. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, and I know that's one point in all this, but
Hank had
they
10,
got
10 overtime
yeah, what?
Points. It was 18-23-10 last year.
36, so 46 points. Okay. That's overtime wins or that's just overtime in general?
Overtime in general doesn't break down. He had 18 wins with 10 overtime. I'm assuming the 10 overtime is lost. 36. It doesn't break it down on.
Well, we know it's at least 36 points. So who knows?
Right.
If you add in the overtime, I don't really know. Okay, so.
I think those are losses.
Okay.
Those are only 1 point.
Okay.
Because otherwise they'd be on the one. So he was 18-23 and 10 ties or overtime losses. So it's 10 points.
I like
18 times 2 is
so
36. It's 46 points. Right.
Yeah, that's going to be tough because we've seen the recent history within the Eastern Conference. You really have to get in that mid-90s at minimum to have a shot. That's tough. But doesn't necessarily mean he won't be over 500. And I think he can, but I know at the end of the game, are we making a call?
Not at all.
No. I'm agreeing with you because you threw the question at the playoffs.
I'm thinking playoffs because I think – you got to start out. I mean, every season you start saying we're going to make the playoffs. But I think the Rangers need to be, to truly see what we have, the Rangers need to be playing viable hockey in March. Otherwise, you're dumping just two games.
No doubt.
And that's the problem. So I think from the start of the season, even if you don't think they're a playoff caliber team, I think you have to keep striving really hard this year to play, even if you get eliminated the week before. I think you need to be playing important games in March. I think the players need to know what that battle is. You know, 2 weeks ago or 8 points out, so we're still in a playoff crunch. Instead of by the end of the trade deadline or the end of February, you're out of it. And that's what, you know, experience is what makes these teams better. It's going to make the Rangers kids a lot better. But if you're not going to get playoff experience this year, then try to get it so that you're at least playing hard in March. That wins and losses still matter in March the way they mattered in January. And if you get knocked out, you get knocked out going down to the end of the wire. Well, that's really, really valuable experience for the players. Otherwise, the next time you make it into the playoffs, they don't really know how to experience must-win situations and teams on your heel with a week to go and all of that. So that's my thinking is if we're going to talk about Hank Flynn, a legitimate 500 season, and I mean 500 could be anything. It could be 18-18. I understand that. They need to be battling for something. Otherwise, no matter how hard you try to get these guys deep to play hard in March when you're done, it's just different. I'll get them next time. I will work that out next time. It really didn't matter. We give up the overtime goal. And it all matters. So I think with JD and with Gorton and with Quinn, you're not going to have that problem. So I am interested to, like you said, to see where they can really – where can they strive? Is it a playoff team? Aren't they a playoff team? We think Hank can get 52 starts this season. There's so much in it. But like you said, when you look at the playoffs, these teams are all in the – you know, Washington, the Islanders, the Penguins, Tampa, Boston, and Toronto all had over 100 points. That's six teams right there.
Man.
All right? Carolina, and then listen, Carolina and Columbus – 99 and 98 points. Those are your eight playoff teams. And then if you look at Montreal, they had 96. All right, so you're talking about to make the playoffs, at a minimum, you're going to need 98 points. Let's just go by what they did last year. Sometimes it's plus or minus three, 4 points, depending on how the other teams go. Mm-hmm. How are the Rangers going to get to 98 is the question.
That is
Columbus had 47 wins. They only had four overtime losses.
Yet.
47 wins they had last year. I don't think the Rangers are a 47-win team.
That is a lot. Yeah, that is. Not yet. I was going to say, final thoughts on Lemieux, Fast, and Lundqvist on this open rink episode as far as, you know, little different areas, man. You got the physical guy, you got a little speedy guy, you got the guy in net. Your final thoughts. And just in general with the Rangers, hockey, anything around the NHL, and we'll wrap up.
No, hockey's been quiet. With the Rangers, look for another solid season from Fast. The Rangers will sign Brendan Lemieux, probably next to right before training camp. And that's only because all these restricted free agents are on the hot seat waiting for someone to go and for some salary cap space to open. You can't make trades if nobody wants to make a trade with you, and that's the problem with the Rangers right now. So I anticipate something happening with them, but it's probably going to be in the beginning of September. Could be wrong. Could happen tomorrow morning. That's just my gut feeling on it. Hank's going to have a big year. Like we said, 50 games maybe he'll start. 52, I don't know. That's the up-in-the-air number. Gorgiev's going to have to be good, or Chesterkin, whoever is eventually the backup goaltender, for anything to happen to give Hank that breathing room. And throughout the NHL, it's been quiet. It's been really quiet. There hasn't been much going on anywhere. So I don't have much with the NHL.
We need some game action.
I do have something really quick, Steve.
Yes, sir.
K'Andre Miller had a great summer USA showcase last week. I didn't get to write about it because I was tied up, but they were really raving his game. Not so much offensively. That's coming along slowly. They were really talking about his leadership. They said you could see the difference in the year he spent in Wisconsin, and he came back to USA Hockey. His leadership skills were up there. He was flying. The knee injury he had in Wisconsin wasn't an issue. He looked really good. He had some assists, some nice scoring chances, and Ranger fans would be happy because he's a couple of years off. But you're going to see some big things from K'Andre Miller if he keeps it up.
Oh, absolutely, man. We were way ahead of that curve. And when he does get on this roster, the Ranger fans are going to be so excited to see his play, man. The growth and the maturation of pretty much his development. He's going to be a solid piece in the future to come, man, for the Blue Shirts. Absolutely. And that's the one thing I'm probably going to have to do. I say this every year, but I'm really, really going to really hone down on trying to get more involved with the college hockey and, of course, all the other circuits, the OHL, KHL, when I could get my hands on some game tape, man. But, man, good information on that, man. We'll be back next Tuesday, get some a couple more Rangers, but also next month, man, when the preseason stuff gets going right before the early October start date for the regular season, man. That's what we need is some preseason games. That's why I want to see some games.
Yeah, we need some hockey.
I know you do.
I know. After a while, you can only talk, and it's just after it's like repetitive. Yeah, you're saying the same things over and over because there's nothing, especially this year. This year is just really quiet. It just stops.
Yeah, I mean, it's the nature of the beast. But after the holiday,
yep,
everything's going to turn around and change up. That'd be Ranger Proud, or writer for Elite Sports New York, of course. Check RP out, of course, on Twitter and the Facebook fan page, Ranger Proud. Of course, this episode on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Republic, tuning your Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, and Spotify for the Bleed Blue Show, the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud. We'll be back next Wednesday. Next Tuesday, the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud. Sangre Asu, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.